some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning. Welcome to the Some News Show on FUBAR Radio. Steve Ann Allen, David Tosonis in today for Eric as he's on holiday. And we keep delving into the news stories. Now, there's one that you might have seen in the newspapers, which upsets the gamers. Head's threat to parents over computer games. Head teachers in Cheshire have warned parents that they will report them to the authorities if they allow their children to play computer games that are rated for the over 18s, the games that are specifically designed. There's probably some bloodshed, maybe there's some prostitutes. I've not really played these sort of games. That's, I'm assuming, that's what I'd put in a game if I were to design. But we can find out more of this by speaking to Andy Robertson, a game industry watcher who runs the YouTube channel Family Gamer TV, who should join us if I fade this up here. Hello to Andy.
Hello, how are you doing?
I should just say, because you are, normally we get callers, because you are a techno expert, we've got you on Skype.
I'm a Skyper.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. It's like you're in the room with us.
Oh, good.
But we are not under threat. Right, what's your take on this? I'm assuming you're quite, if you must game quite a lot, and yet you are also a father.
Yeah, those two things are in tension sometimes, aren't they?
Because that's why we called him, Stephen. Imagine he was, no, I don't have an opinion at all, and just hung up.
I'm not fast, really.
Yeah. How did you manage?
What you see is that it is a hot topic, that it's something that most people have opinion on. Children and violent games don't go together. And so in a family, that's something that you need to resolve. And there are different ways to do that. But I think what's happening here is that there's one group that's trying to prescribe one approach to resolving that problem, and that's where the debate is.
Okay. So, firstly, I guess there's an assumption in this, and the assumption is that violent games in some way will... Remember, like, in the 80s when it was all about video nasties, and if you watch these rubbish films, you're going to grow up to be a psychopath. Now the narrative is, if you play these games, it will make you become some sort of a murderer. Is there any link between how influential these games are on our upbringing?
There's no hard and fast link. There's no sort of studies that have said, if you play these games, you'll go out and replicate them. But equally, I think, you know, anyone who watches a film or reads a book, those things influence us. They influence our views and our perspective on the world. So I think to say that there's no influence is a mistake as well. So, but I think kids are really good at understanding, you know, what's real and what's fantasy. And, you know, if you come to the game with a relatively balanced outlook on the world, it's not going to suddenly turn you into a mass murderer.
I suppose it was easier in our day, and obviously you're still gaming, so I'm going to refer to you as the younger generation, the youth of today. Whereas when I played computer games, I kind of stopped at university. So Doom 2, Duke Nukem, maybe a little bit of Quake 3 Arena.
Oh my God, I'm so old. I go way back further
really?
Than that. Oh yeah.
You're not
like,
Doom 1, are you?
No, I'm like Donkey Kong is what I thought we'd talk about today.
Have you ever thrown barrels?
No.
Then it has not affected you.
However, there hasn't been barrels around for me to throw. Maybe if I walk down the street and do find barrels, I might find an inclination to throw them. So.
All right, so maybe that's unproven. But for the kind of graphics that I had when I was a Duke Nukem 3D, come get some kind of player, I never, you know, the pig cops didn't really look that real, so it didn't feel like I was shooting anyone. You know, I mean, it was a pig as well, so I think, are you allowed to shoot pigs? Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to eat pigs. And therefore, maybe that's okay. But some of the games, the graphics are way more realistic. And surely that must affect you more because you're seeing it, you know, you're seeing it with your eyes.
Yeah, so the games these days, they're sort of approaching. You watch a game, you think, is that a film or is that a game? And they're taking a lot of those sort of techniques of storytelling from films as well. So often you'll play a game and there's a cutscene. And some of the violence will happen in those sort of filming moments too. Whether that has, you know, whether you're more likely to act it out, I think you're still very aware that you're playing a game because every few seconds it's stopping and asking for an input. Quite different to watching a film where you'll lose yourself and you sort of give yourself over to the eye of the director. In a game, you're sort of in control. But equally, that brings you back into that as a parent, that feeling of unease. It's not just your child watching some violence happening. It is your child perpetrating a virtual act of violence.
Yeah.
And so it's territory that I think you need to tread carefully on. But I think the way the news item here around a school trying to say, if you don't get it right, we're going to report you to the authorities, isn't the right way to go, because it's just going to close down those sort of healthy conversations, which actually those are the best things that I have with my kids.
Yeah.
if they play a game, I want to talk about it with them rather than ban it and say, let's not talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So what happens if you let your kids play on an 18-plus game and the school calls the police and says, this guy has let his kids play on an over-18 game, officer?
Well, I'm not an expert in that particular area, but as far as I understand it, it's not illegal for it's clearly not illegal for a parent to buy a game for their child, regardless of the age rating. The law is very clear, and it's around a shop or an individual selling a game for profit to a person that's not the right age. And on the game boxes, they're very clearly marked. You know, it's the age ratings are, there's lots of information, both in terms of how old you should be to play the game and also what the game contains. So you have like an 18 with a red sticker. It's like a traffic light system, so at red is the 18, and then you have 16 and 12, which are orange, and those are the legally enforced ages. And then you have a 7 age group and a 3, and those are just advisable, but they're only enforced at the point of retail. So as a parent,
but same as movies, exactly the same as movies.
Yeah, it's a similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit more information though. If you go online, you can find out, you know, what's in the game, because it's if you're thinking about letting your family watch a movie, you can obviously watch it first and you know what's going to happen. But mm-hmm. In a game, they can be quite long, say 20, 30, even more hours. So you can't always see what's in it. So mm-hmm. the games industry have done a nice job of sort of heading up. Here's what's in the game. Here's what to expect mm-hmm. as a parent.
A lot of people, so people do take this angle of the fact that playing games, you are perpetrating violence. No one ever looks at it the other way around, that if you watch a film, you observe it. If you play a game, you die an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your,
there is consequences to it.
What you're doing, yeah. And equally, in a game, you have to take responsibility for that violence. You can't sort of say, oh, I'm just watching something else. And so in a family, again, it creates many more interesting conversations around, you know, how did that feel, you know, when you sort of did that particular level, or you beat that bad guy, is that something that was good or bad? Whereas obviously if you're watching a film, it's something that's happening that someone else has already preordained, so you don't have to take responsibility for it.
Mm. So how would this school find out that kids have been playing these over 18 games?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
No, I think it's easy.
Ask the kids.
It's so easy on social media, right?
Oh, I thought you meant it's the kids who go around beating up prostitutes and nicking cars.
No, I think they I think they Twitter it and Facebook it, and I think everything leaves a trail nowadays, right, on social media.
Good point.
That's what I'm assuming, Andy. Am I correct? And that's how they know the kids are playing it?
The school could keep track of Facebook pages. And, I mean, technically, I would say that's kind of more questionable behavior than parents letting their kids play those other way to games. And what my usual advice is to get it in there is to say, if you're in doubt about a game, then read the box. But secondly, play the game together, and to playing games in a family space rather than letting kids play in the bedroom, suddenly a lot of these concerns go away because the parents and the kids are both experiencing the game, you know, at the same time, and they can talk about it. And there's a parent there, if there's something that's genuinely worrying happening, that you know, they can talk about it.
And nothing bonds a family together more than taking a head off a zombie.
Andy's winning like number one dad for me right now. You know that? Holy cow. Did you play video games with your own father, Andy?
I didn't actually, no. I played them on my own in my bedroom. Mm. That was quite a long time ago. But
yeah. And you turned out all right though, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a few sort of nervous twitches here and there. But,
because we tried to with my father, but of course he was terrible at it, and we would beat him at it, and then he would get really frustrated with us.
Yeah.
It was like kind of an awkward moment too, you know. So how are your kids? Are they better? Do they kick your ass at it, or can you keep up with them?
I used to when they're younger. My oldest is just turning 10.
Oh, you're that dad. You used to beat him when you were young.
At FIFA, he's absolutely, he kills me. Literally.
That's great. And so your oldest now is 10, you say?
So yeah, but my oldest son is 10, and my daughter is 11.
All right, 12, so
quite soon. So
the 11.
Yeah, and we've played games from a very early age, so like from the age of sort of three or four.
Mm-hmm. What's the most adult games. Game? What's the most, you know, whatever the phrase should be, the most grown up game that you let your 11-year-old play?
I think probably some of the Peggy 12 games, and in some of the dancing games that she likes to play, Just Dance, some of those, and it's usually based on the lyrics, they're aged up a bit. And there's a driving game called Forza Horizon that my son really liked, and we played it together. It was a Peggy 12, and he was maybe 8 at the time, I think.
Just calling the authorities right now on you, sir.
Just send them over before me. I think that's essentially that's my decision as a parent.
Yeah.
That I need to take responsibility for that. And the problem of having sort of fear tactics is that I might be scared and just say no. And actually those conversations that I really value and those really enjoyable times I've had with my son wouldn't have happened because I was worried about sort of doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this quote, Andy, is that we have Prime Minister David Cameron, everyone's favorite, announced this month that adults in positions of responsibility could face prison sentences of up to 5 years if they fail to report allegations of the neglect or abuse of children. Now, I'm assuming he means that that's not a general statement. That's in the computer games context.
Just computer games.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's a little ridiculous of up to 5 years, first of all. And second of all, do we not have whoever this is checking up on this? Is there not something better they could do with their job, too? You know,
I think that statement is it's a general statement, isn't it?
Yeah. And people who work in authority that should report other people who work there doing more wrong than just letting someone play an 18 over 18.
Exactly.
Game.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And the problem with bringing this topic into that debate is that it kind of dilutes that, which is a really good message, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You want that to happen.
Yeah.
But by grouping in games and this sort of issue, the real problems get sort of
that's what I'm saying,
by the stuff we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Well, so if people want to find out, if they have children, they have games, you say it's on the box. Are there other sources where you can find out info of what's in the game?
Yes, there's a few places. The first thing to do is to look at the front of the box. And that'll give you the age. If you flip it over, it will say why it's got that age with some symbols like violence, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever else is in there.
Guitar hero.
And then online you can Google. And I work with a website called Ask About Games. I have to say that carefully because it's easy to mispronounce. and we do these two-minute videos. And in 2 minutes, as a parent, you can watch it. It tells you what's really good about the game, why kids like it, who made it, but then also goes through the rating details and says what to watch out for. And while you're listening to that, it shows you on the screen what actually will happen. And some of that is, you know, it's really good to watch because as I compile them and sometimes it's like, oh, this is really violent. And I'm finding clips of people being beheaded. But equally, you know, there's lots of really great stuff in the games as well. So to get that balanced picture, I think those videos are really good. And that's askaboutgames.com. And I think that's very good. And the Peggy website, again, is very, very informative. Any game that's been released is a physical boxed copy in the UK will be on there, and they give you all the details. And every game has to have a Peggy rating before it goes on sale.
Andy, who decides this too? Who sits down when these video games are made and decides the rating on them?
So that's the Games Rating Authority who run the Peggy ratings in the UK. And they have examiners. So what happens is that the game publisher answers a questionnaire about their game and sends that to Peggy. And then Peggy looks through the questionnaire, works out what the actual age should be for it. We'll play some of the game. We'll also look at video clips of some of the game because obviously it's very long, so they can't play the whole thing.
Mm.
And then it gets its rating. So it's like a collaboration between Peggy and the publishers. And it's a very open and sort of transparent process, which I think is really positive. The challenge is actually getting parents to be aware that information is there, which again is why we're creating this stuff in video form, because these days people don't want to read, they just want to watch the video.
Beautiful. So Andy Robertson, thank you very much. What's your YouTube channel if you want people to check out your stuff?
Yeah, so those videos are also published on my YouTube, which is Family Gamer TV. And yeah, we cover stuff from sort of real families, real little sort of fly in the wall documentaries about what it's been like for a family to play a particular game, maybe you haven't played games before, as well as just reviews and news about the new and upcoming games as well.
Beautiful. Thanks very much for giving us the info. Before you dash off, a quick thing. I once sat down on YouTube and watched all of the film clips from Mortal Kombat. I don't know which version it was, but you know, there's the whole storyline. And I didn't watch any of the fighting. I just watched the video bit, and it's a great film. And everyone I know in my social circle has mocked me for that. I'm assuming you might be the only person who can understand why it was a good film.
Yeah, there are probably some redeeming qualities there. But I would still say there might have been some better ways to spend your time.
Oh, wow. I've just been Andy. Even Andy won't back you up on that one, Stephen.
Oh, this is a dark day for me.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, on that note, Andy Robertson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Andy.
Sorry, Steve. Cheers, bye.
All I can say, Sub-Zero.
Now, can I just say that was a way better expert
than the time that you called me as the expert on snow. That guy knew stuff, and he was very informative. Can we get more experts like that, please?
You should have done that right from week one. Yeah. Good point. Well made, well made.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.